Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all my blessed beloveds out there on this beautiful Wednesday, Humpity Hump Day. We have a warm weather here in New England, which is unusual for mid-January. It's relatively sunny. It was really sunny this morning, but the clouds are starting to creep in a little bit, and that's okay. We got a little bit of sun. That's totally groovy with me. I am very excited to talk to Leif Hansen of Spark Interaction today about play formation, because as you all know, I'm playful and there's only one way to live, and that's with a big smile on your face and being goofy, as far as I'm concerned. So we're going to learn a little bit about what he does, and I'm really looking forward to that. Some major announcements is, if you guys have had an opportunity to see the lineup for the next few weeks, some really exciting stuff going on. So definitely check it out. It's on Blog Talk Radio, or if you're on Facebook, go to facebook.com/celiacroads, R-O-A-D-S, and friend me so that you can keep up with me. I have several interviews internationally coming up. Those two will be posted on the events page of Facebook, so feel free to tune in. It's always fun. I was invited by You Smile Radio this morning to be a guest, and I'm looking forward to that show because, again, smiling is very important, and it's a show of positive inspiration and motivation. I will be a guest speaker here locally at a couple of places. I'll post that on Facebook as well. So really exciting start to the new year, all about motivating change and inspiring other people. I want to give a big shout-out to the Whistle Stop Grill in downtown Somersworth. They're a new restaurant, great team, fabulous staff, good food. They're currently working on a gluten-free menu so that those of us who are celiacs or live gluten-free lifestyle can participate in more than one way. Last week we had a meeting, and Brian was kind enough to make me a gluten-free, yummy chocolate goodness. So for Facebook fans, I shared a piece with you. But definitely stop by, say hi, go in, and say that I sent you. They've really done a great job with the menu. It's very affordable and good food and great staff. Can't beat that. Amy's dialed in, and I'm going to pull her on in a minute, and Leif's on as well. Feel free to call in. We love to hear from you. The number here is 347-205-9443, and as always, welcome to Humpity Hump Day. And Amy, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, just, you know, running around as usual. Got a lot of things going on. There's a couple of fairs I'm going to be doing shortly that I'm organizing, so I've been busy, which is good for 2013, starting off at a good clip, so just kind of rolling with it. So how was your week then?
It was great, actually. Like you, there's some major events happening. And next week, we're not going to have a show because I have a meeting that I cannot reschedule, FYI to everyone. I don't know, Amy, if you've seen the lineup yet, but, whoo, Lord, do we have some great people coming up.
Awesome.
So I'm really, really excited. Great start to this year, for sure. And just bring it. Bring it, bring it, bring it.
It's going to be a good
year. It is. And I have some guest co-hosts coming on, too. I know we haven't had a chance to talk, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun year. Mm-hmm. So let me pull on Leif. How are you, my dear?
I'm doing great, thanks. I was a little panicky as I tried to access the phone number, the link from my mobile, and for some reason it doesn't show when I went to the link, so it took me a bit to find it. So,
no worries.
Beforehand.
Good morning
really excited
to you.
To be here. Good morning.
Good morning to you. I know you're on the West Coast.
I am. I'm on. Today it's the Wet Coast.
The Wet Coast.
But just had a nice time connecting with some mentors that I meet with each week on Wednesday morning, and excited to talk with you guys today.
All right, great. So who are you, and what do you do?
Who am I? I'm probably as much of a mystery as everybody else. So, who am I really? That's the fun of life, isn't it? Is constantly mm-hmm. finding out that you really aren't what story you have been told you are or that you think you are. And then you get to play form who you are throughout your life. So, but at this time, I seem to be showing up as someone who live in, as you said, in the West Coast in a small town called Port Townsend, a couple hours from Seattle, Washington. Been married to my lovely wife, Anna, for about 18 years. Have a daughter named Zinnia, who's 9 years old. We're just reaching the half-married, half-parent age there, years of digestion. And I have a business, as you mentioned, Spark Interaction, where I do personal and professional training and development. And on the personal side, I do coaching and workshops and retreats. And on the organizational professional side, I do workshops and retreats as well, focusing on team building and trainings that take on a variety of forms, from teaching people. I have a workshop called How to Wow, that where I work with leaders and coaches and facilitators on how to get people beyond their left brain and into their right brain, into their bodies, more flexible and adaptive and engaging in their presentations. Mm-hmm. And I teach the principles of creativity, and really the process that I use that you've already mentioned is called Playformation. And it's about the transforming power of play. It's an attitude of play. And the constant thing I run up against when people hear the word play, particularly when I'm working with corporate clients, is that there's a trigger and assumption.
Hey, Lee.
Play means.
Lee.
Yeah.
Lee, you're a little staticky, sweetheart.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Much better. Don't
I'm
move.
On the cell.
Don't move.
Okay.
Go ahead, try
so
that again.
Let's see, lift my left leg up, and there we are.
Don't forget the aluminum foil bunny ears.
Yeah, there you go. I'll go back over to the window. Maybe that helps some. So, yeah, the process of play formation, which is, I was talking about people's assumptions about play, as if it's the opposite of work. And what a lot of research is finding out is that that's really not true. The opposite of work actually is, the opposite of play is being static and closed and stuck. And the opposite of work, I guess, would be something like not working, not being productive, not being contributing. And another thing that people tend to think is that the opposite of play is serious. And so when you mention play, they go, oh, you mean we're not going to do anything that's serious or worthwhile. And nothing could be further from the truth. So it's, you know, there's some education that I have to go through around helping people see that what I mean by play is I mean a mind at play. I mean a attitude of flexibility. I mean bringing your authentic self and enjoying what you do and working from your passion and not just working with words and calculations from this technocentric world we live in, but actually remembering you have a body and you have feelings and you have emotions and you have relationships. And so it's really it's a variety of activities and games and exercises that get people fully engaged for a variety of different outcomes.
Very cool. Now, I was reading a little bit. You've done this on, what is it, NBC? PBS?
Yes. Yeah, one of the big press pieces was a workshop I did called Soul Tech, which came out of my own struggle with technology. I love technology. I mean, look at what we're able to do right now. And on the other hand, I noticed myself often getting stuck, you know, saying I'm only going to go online for an hour and a few hours go by, and really valuing relationships and my body and paying attention to people, but often checking the cell phone all the time and almost like an addictive behavior. So about 5, 6 years ago, I did a workshop called Soul Tech. And the LA Times heard about it, and they did a big cover story. And then the next thing I know, the Today Show from NBC called me up and said they wanted to come out and film my next workshop. And what it was about was, it wasn't saying that we had any answers, that there was, you know, this is the right way to use technology. It was basically saying that the problem we're having is that our technological rate of change and what we're adopting into our lives is happening so fast that we haven't really had the time to be conscious and intentional about how it's affecting our lives. The positives are really clear, like, oh, these great new relationships and new information and tribes that are forming and tasks that get done, but the toll that it takes on our body and our spiritual development and our relationships and families. And I've heard some statistic recently that the most rapidly growing sector of people going to counselors right now is what's happening with their relationship with technology, how it's breaking up families and addictions. And so it was about how it was helping people using the same play formation processes, making it fun, making it engaging, and asking questions around what's working for you with technology. What's actually, you know, what do you enjoy about it? And what's not working for you? What do you value underneath it that's getting in conflict with technology? And what are some habits of mind, some processes, some changes of lifestyle, some boundaries, even some technologies that you can use to help come into a deeper sense of integrity with how you relate to technology? So my hunch of why it got so much press, it actually ended up getting covered in a bunch of different international papers besides the Today Show, and is that people feel, you know, they really feel, how do I say it? It touched a nerve. How's that? It touched a nerve, I think, in all of us right now. So that was that workshop.
Well, that is true, that we are the addiction. You can be addicted to these things that actually make, you know, people in business. You know, I know I have some. I'm probably not as, you know, up to date with the techno savvy, but I certainly have them and rely on them a little bit. And I do kind of, you know, find myself relying on these a little bit too much. And it is something that, you know, needs to be addressed.
Definitely. And again, not in a way to say that there's a right way to do it. We each have to decide for ourselves. And I imagine some people will feel totally comfortable with a high level of dependency. You know, they have, when they imagine a few years from now getting the smartphone implant in their brain and having, you know, virtual information pop up on their contact lenses and instantly connecting to people and being constantly jacked in and wired, that's the way they want humanity or post-humanity to evolve towards. And then you'll have some people that say, no, I'm complete other extreme, and we're going to have a branch of humanity react in kind of a more neo-Luddite kind of way of, well, not so much destroying, but just saying, I'm going to set some really strong boundaries because there's a sacrifice of ways of being human that I think technology is affecting. And then probably the bigger spectrum of us, at least for a while, is going to stay in the middle and pick and choose what's working and doesn't working. But the question, like you said, is having the conversation with yourself and with your community, getting it out in the open and saying, hey, we're all wrestling with this. What do we want to do? What do we want our lives to be like? And bringing it back to my work and play formation, I think the reason that it connected so well was a big piece of what play formation is about is saying, yeah, the way the technology engages us, the way it enchants us, you could even say, is wonderful. And yet, there's more to being human. There's more than just your left or right index finger going up and down and your eyeballs blinking, you know, which is basically how the body gets used. There's more to your body. There's more in the world of imagination and connection and touch and relationships and a fullness. And so do we really want our classes, do we really want our presentations to be something where people sit there and information is downloaded to them? Or is there something in us that wants to be engaged on a deeper level? And does transformation happen when that deeper level is being engaged?
I think it's really, really interesting, especially in my age group, because we're really, the mid-30s are kind of the front line of common computers. I mean, we had DOS systems in first grade. Most people in under 25 have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about, but you know, my generation was really the first to have the common everyday household computer. The generation before me, not so much. And my daughter, who is 7.5, totally teched in. She got a Fun Tab for Christmas, which is like a Kindle type thing, mm-hmm. a tablet. She has an iPod. It's, you know, so she's totally digitized. And it's interesting as a parent and as a psychologist to sit back and go, huh, I'm wondering what physical changes we're really making in our brain by always being tuned in and not jumping out and playing in the mud and building forts and, you know, just doing kid things that we used to do outside, outdoor activity. I don't think it's just physical in the sense of weight gain, but I think it's neurological in the sense of we're not able to be creative without a device anymore unless you purposefully make your children go out and play. I'm just curious on your thoughts with that. I mean, I could go on forever with my theory.
I know. Well, it's fun. You bring up two things that I'd love to address. First of all, as far as the children side, yes, my daughter, although what's happening with her, and I'm very curious, I'd be curious with your listeners if they end up calling in and they could comment on this with their children. My child, maybe because in reaction to the period where I was very involved in my computer, has mm-hmm. gone to the other extreme. And she's almost got this vendetta against technology. And it makes me really wonder if there will be a generation of kids who felt a disconnect from their parents, from bonding, from a deeper sense of love, who maybe will end up kind of blaming the machine, and maybe they'll be the kind of, you know, I'm imagining some sci-fi scenario here.
Some anarchist.
Yeah, just sort of like a total grown, you know, it's like, we learn the machines. So that's just sort of a tangent. But and then as far as the neurological factor, no doubt. I mean, let's just be honest with ourselves. Staring at if you took a flashlight and you stared at it all day long, you know, I mean, just staring at a screen, the light itself, the clicking, the endorphins, the rewards, the consequences, the, you know, from Marshall McLuhan's phrase, the meaning is the message. It's not the content. See, most people end up engaging what we're talking about on a content level. Oh, good TV, bad TV. Good websites, bad websites. Good social media posts, bad social media posts. I mean, that's an interesting topic, but it's not so much that as it is the actual engaging and relationship that we're building with the medium, with the system, with the devices, and how they're affecting our body, our mind, psychologically, neurologically, and not a lot of research. There's been some research into that, and I'm not going to pretend that I've done tons of staying on top of all the research, but I know from some that I've seen that there was an article, I think it was connected to is Google making us stupid, STOOPID, that was very popular. There was an article about that the chemical changes in our body and our relationship to, particularly with the mobile devices, were the same chemicals as when you're in love.
That makes sense.
Don't quote me on that. I'm not going to say I got it exactly right, but the point there is research out there, and there needs to be more, and agreeing with you that, yes, we are being changed. And again, that's not saying that's bad. That might be the path that our genes and the code that we're now in control of are heading us towards. And some people, they call themselves post-humanists or transhumanists, believe this is our destiny, is to merge biology and technology. And I don't know where I stand on that, but it's just something to be conscious of is the point.
Oh, absolutely. And I find it extremely interesting when you meet people online and you have these great conversations, but you meet them in person, they're the most shy people in the world. So there's like this duality. There's this duality, and that causes me, being a social person, that causes me a huge amount of concern that there's this duality. It's easier to be who you are virtually than it is to be who you are physically.
Like just pretending.
Yes.
You know, so it's not honest. And, you know, children, you know, there's a lot of statistics about vitamin D levels, especially here in the Northeast. Kids aren't getting outside. Even in the wintertime, you absorb vitamin D when you're outside. It may not be as much as in the summertime, but you are absorbing it. And they're inside watching TV, playing, you know, video games and not getting outside, then that is, you know, detrimenting our health. So it's a lot of people that look at it that way.
Yeah.
I'm kind of with you. I'm kind of the middle of the road. I like to use some of it, but I don't like to get over, you know, dependent on it. But I believe outdoor play and play acting and shutting the technology off for a little while is, you know, a good compromise.
Yeah, you know, and this is where the conversations I find really, I don't want to say needs to go because that makes it sound like that's the only right way. I find it most effective and helpful for people, in my experience, whether I'm coaching with them or in a group, when the conversation turns back to not what's right or wrong, or, oh my God, my kids are too exposed to technology, I need to set up a bunch of rules. But when people have a conversation around, what do I really want my life to be about? And that's the core part, you know, and that's why a coaching, and I know you do coaching as well, Rusty, that one of the first priorities when we're coaching people is to have that conversation, is to help people say, find out what I call their golden thread is. What's the golden thread for you? What activities, what values, what ways of being in the world, what experiences, what goals, like what do you want when you imagine a world that is just the most magical, loving, fun, perfect world for you, what would that world look like? And when you get that picture and you help people to get a picture of what they want, and it's a really hard, that's one of the hardest conversations, is to start playing with and imagining, because then you have to go.
I was just
going to
ask you if you had had difficulties with those conversations, because that is key to the work that you do, but it's very difficult for people to imagine themselves that way. They can imagine their children's perfect future or their cousin's perfect future or their lover's perfect future, but for themselves.
Right. What comes up is that I can't, or I shouldn't, or I couldn't, or I'm afraid, or if that changes. And that's, you know, that's the work of you help them to, you know, that's part of the coaching process. If a person has a block or a challenge, you help them imagine what it would be like on the other side of that challenge, and you help them to maybe do a little bit of seeing what their patterns of thought and their worldviews and limiting beliefs are related to that. And then you help them come up with, well, what are the resources, you know, relationships and books and tools and, you know, what is out there, inner and outer resources that can help them overcome those challenges. Because, you know, I'm coming, when I'm working with someone or a group, from a place of saying anything is possible. And I am looking at you as a person, you as an organization, wanting your fullest potential, standing for your fullest potential. I mean, that's what you're paying me for. That's my own excitement. That's my own passion. And so I'm coming and I'm making that stand. And I'm going to, when I hear you, you know, bring up the fears and the buts, I'm going to call you on that. I'm going to do it compassionately, mm-hmm. but I'm going to call that out, and we're going to look and deconstruct what it is that's getting in the way. And so bringing it back to our other conversation full circle, what happens is when you start to get clear finally on, you know what, I want to have my body feeling this kind of way, and I want to really be present when I'm talking to people, and I want our family to have some times in the evening where we're really creative, and I want to stay connected to my wider community internationally and use this social media or something, then people can start to build habits in their life that support that, you know, mm-hmm. some boundaries and guidelines of, you know, I'm only going to use the computer as a two-person tool, or I'm only going to check my email for 1 hour a day, or, you know, those kinds of rules and boundaries that help them become more full.
Now, I have a pile of tools that I use when I coach, but and the viewers have already heard all of those. So what kinds of tools do you you recommend when you're coaching, especially with boundary setting, for those of us who work out of the house? That's a harder boundary to set because literally my commute is 25 feet. You know what I mean? So I have been known, and Amy can testify, that literally I'll get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and just go right to work until 7:30 at night. Bad boundaries. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So there's skills that you come up with, especially as a coach, recognizing your own behavior. But what kinds of tools do you recommend to your clients with those
mm-hmm.
types of boundary setting issues?
Great. Well, I will give some specific tools, but before I do, I want to say two things. One is I want to confess that I still continue to wrestle with this, despite the workshops I do and the conversations I have. It's gotten better and better and better. But it is not, you know, it is because the technology's changed and my life changes, and you know, the tool or the resource that I've found to be number one most effective. Are you listening?
I'm listening.
Is
preach it to me,
getting
brother.
Really, 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 really clear on what you want. If
right.
I'll tell you all these little tools that are technology tools and rules and boundaries, but if you haven't gotten that deep inner sense of, like, this is what I want my life to be like, you're just not going to have the vision, the power, the discipline. It's going to feel like you're working. You're not porking. You know, you're going to play in the work when they come together. You're wrestling against yourself in a sense. So that said, after gaining that clarity, I think it's really helpful to get support on those goals and that clarity, and that can come in the form of a conversation with your family and kind of bringing things from the dark into the light. Or
right.
a good friend, or a co-coaching relationship with someone where you each give each other time, or a professional coach, or a counselor, or an online group where you have, you know, accountability to those things. So get that support so it's not just by yourself. And then specific tools, there are things like, there are apps like Timeout for the Mac, which is a free one that will pop up and give you micro and macro breaks and remind you to take some time to stand up and get away from your screen. There is an app called Rescue Time for Mac and PC that's more of a reality check. What it does is it basically measures all the time you're spending on any program or website, and you can see you know, what you're doing and where the time is actually going. Like for me, when I did that for a year and had it running in the background, I was like, oh, my God, do I spend a lot of time on email and Facebook? It was
right.
like, you know, so, I mean, email was disproportionately, insanely the big time suck. And so I had to make some changes to, you know, and which is the next tool, is to do your email in batch. You probably heard this one before. It's the big, a lot of productivity gurus say this. It's like, don't have email on your mobile or your computer set to give you little ding, you have mail. Ding, you have mail. Ding, because you're gonna be, you're training your brain to constantly be become interrupted in the check-in and get sucked into that world. So turn that stuff off and set some sort of, everyone's going to be different depending on their work and their lifestyle and what they need. Set some sort of rhythm, whether it's maybe an hour a week or 2 hours a day, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. You know best to do what's called batch work. So you're doing all those emails at one time instead of sprinkling them throughout the day and turning your brain into an ADD machine. So, you know, doing batch work for email or for social media. You can use social media tools. If social media is a part of your business and life, you can use tools like Hootsuite or TweetDeck that allow you to schedule posts and do them all from one place. It's another way
and
to batch.
And that has been a huge lifesaver. I talk about it on other shows because I also coach business for businesses and other shows literally call me going, okay, let's do this. Stop. You know, how do we stop being like Pavlov's dog? Every time you have a smile, you start to drool. Now it's the ding or the tweet or whatever the setting is on your phone. And Hootsuite, I have to say, it has been a lifesaver for me. Love
that.
Yeah.
And I go in and out with it, to be honest. Sometimes I will use it and it's great. And then for some reason, it's almost like the format of Facebook has become, like the design layout has become this home I want to return to. You know, I want to know where everything is and not just have it as a filtered stream. So it's kind of funny. So there's those ones. Going back to the inner resources or the changes in your life besides tech tools, not only getting clarity of what you want, but actually filling your life up with the things you want. Because if you fill your life up, say, with a creativity class or doing some kind of really fun exercise that helps your body and connects you to people, or having, you know, being in a coaching group or whatever it is that your life wants, then it's very much less likely that, A, well, you'll have the time to you know, let your time be wasted, but also a lot of the reasons that we're going to these tech-sucking worlds is for connection, is for stimulation. And so if you're finding stimulation and connection in more holistic ways, you're probably not going to be as needy for the other stuff. It's like licking apples. Who wants to lick one when you can bite into it?
Exactly. I was going to ask you about the licking apple. I'm glad you finished that sentence because my mind went...
Oh, wow. Help me on that metaphor. No nutrition.
So what types of tools? I have my phone set every couple of hours because of the type of work I do, not only coaching, but I also am a market manager for Cabot Creamery. And I have the West Coast, so I set my timer every few hours to go to different parts of the West Coast and focus in that area.
Mm-hmm.
What other types of physical tools like that, like physical reminders?
Oh, gosh. I mean, there's so many. Of course, you can use, I think you're meaning sort of things that kind of help you recognize how much time is going by. Are those kind of tools? Or,
right.
Yeah, I mean, there are as many timers and kinds of timers as you can imagine to clock your client hours or to give you a reminder that when you enter, you can, you know, with what's called geolocation and geofencing, a lot of mobile devices now will, when you get to a certain area, for example, you could set yourself a little reminder on your iPhone that every time you get to home, turn off, the little reminder pops up and says, time to turn off the phone. Here's a little habit. It's not so much of a tool. And I've talked to enough people that I find that a lot of families have a habit like this, which is to have a little bed, to have a little place that the mobile devices at a certain time in the day sleep. They go, they get put away, they get powered down. And so the teens and the adults, this is not a teen problem. I think a lot of times adults sort of offload this issue on teens. But, you know, they're not coming out during the meal. And, so having a place and a ritual of I'm going to put this away for now can really help as well. There's so many tools that I think I'd probably need a little bit more of a category to help if you to know what you meant by other kinds of tools.
No. That's exactly what I was. I believe that you give little seeds and people spawn off of that, and that's mm-hmm. when they start thinking about their life and how they can manage it better. So.
Yeah.
Those seeds were perfect, and I love the term making a little bed, putting your cell phone to bed. It's nanny time for the cell phone. That's cute.
Have you either of you two seen the very popular book that came out last year called Goodnight iPad?
No,
I've heard of
it,
but I haven't read
it.
Oh
my God, it is so beautiful and hilarious. So they're playing off of the classic Goodnight Moon book.
Uh-huh.
And it's about this mom, like you see this household that's got all the popular terms and technologies, and the whole house is wired to the max. And this mom, all of a sudden, she's just like, enough. And she starts throwing out the window all of the different devices, you know, and mm-hmm. good night, iPad, good night, Wi-Fi 3B, good night. And she starts throwing, it's just great. And you see the look on the dad's face and the kid's face, like clinging, like no. It's great.
Oh,
it kind of, you know, and that's a fun book to have that conversation as a family and kind of laugh at ourselves and say, hey, you know, this is kind of hard and this is interesting and we're all wrestling with this. And the fun tool just popped in my mind for some reason. If you guys don't know about Mindbloom,
you're trying to go staticky again. You moved.
Oh, interesting. I'm actually just sitting down right now.
Isn't that fun? Nope, you're fine.
Can you hear me, though?
Yeah.
Huh. There's a website called Mindbloom, and they also have a couple apps. And what it is, it's like you plant a seed, and you grow this tree, and each branch on the tree represents an area in your life. And they give you, and through the inspiration, there's like a sunshine, and through the rain, which are your actions, the tree starts to grow. And it's like a great goal-setting app, and like if you don't use it and you don't water your tree in different areas of your life, they start to change color and size and atrophy. And they have a couple apps. One of them is called Juice, and it's a great free app that allows you to kind of check in. It's a fun little graphic representation with the habits that you have in your life, and to keep yourself energized and to keep your, you know, whether it's exercise or diet or you know, different kind of things like that. They have a couple other apps. So those are some techie tools.
Very cool. So let's take a quick break. Where do we find you if somebody wanted to reach out and have a conversation?
Sparkinteraction.com is my main website. I've got a few different websites. And it's kind of going through, as everybody says, right, the reformatting. There's a nice little one-minute splash video there that lets you get a sense of my work in groups. But in the services section, if you go into the personal section, you can see a bit about my coaching and personal retreats. And then, of course, I'm happy to talk to anybody at 206-428-7626 in terms of just interest in one-on-one coaching or getting a, what I call a spark group, which is like a coaching small group starting.
Very cool. So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about your retreats. What do you do on a retreat? Do you just kind of sit around in a room and have Kool-Aid or? Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
You
just
kick your nose. I love you.
We love kicking our nose. A variety of retreats. I'll start with on the personal side. So my real passion is these retreats. I mean, if I can ever get myself focused enough, because I tend to do a lot of things, as you might guess, I probably mm-hmm. would try and make my main business. I would probably try and get enough passive income going that I could do my main business of doing retreats with small groups and, you know, small means anything from 10 to 25. So on the retreat side, not the so much training with a particular outcome, on the retreat side, my play formation retreats can range from a variety of really fun mostly improv-based activities and games that help people to connect with each other, more deeply connect with themselves, increase their own creative flow and kind of go past those fears we tend to have with self-expression. They are also about just building that confidence that we have to be able to really be authentic and express ourselves publicly and in a creative way. So there's ones that are focused more on the creativity and the creative output in our life. And then I've done a retreat a couple times now called Leela. And Leela is a Sanskrit word for divine play. And that's probably the juiciest kind of work for me. And that's where I'm using these similar processes to help people go to a really deep level of connection with themselves and connection mm-hmm. with whatever they their understanding of the divine and God, of ultimate reality, of spirit. I had this funny dream that I had to just say this tangent because it's connected. So this morning I was having this dream. I was in a group and was giving some kind of talk about connecting spiritually, and I was trying to cover all the bases, you know, someone wouldn't be offended. I was like, okay, yeah, whatever you want to call it. And so I said all these terms, and I got done, and some guy goes, I just like calling it the real. And I responded to that, and I said, that's great, you know, ultimate reality. And I said something else, and I woke up, and the first thing I hear is my wife saying, this time it's for real. This time it's for real. And I was like, what is going on? I don't know if her sentence caused, you know, in the dream space where time gets expanded, right. Like I had that dream because she was saying that, or if it was a weird coincidence. But what she meant was, this time it's real. We need to get out of bed. So the Leela retreats are about that deep, deep connection that we can get to ultimate reality, to God, through other people, through time in ourselves, and largely using this skill set that I call applied improvisation, which is when you're improvising, you're going into the dark.
Mm-hmm.
You're going past your scripts for how mm-hmm. things should be and what to say and what to expect. Mm-hmm. And that's why improvisation, though a lot of people tend to think of like improv comedy theater or something, but this world of improv, which is so much more than that, is really about a world of being authentic and in the moment and real and discovery and exploration and being surprised and courage, because it takes courage. So that's really the heart of the work that I do in those settings. What was that?
Say it again, Amy.
It sounds like almost like practicing your life. You know what I mean? Like taking up. It sounds like the retreat would be like a practice run in how you would explore feelings and things.
Before
you're actually doing it in a more controlled.
That's a great way to put it. I actually did one workshop called Test Drive Your Future, and it was you know, using those processes like you say to imagine where you want. You know, what you want your life to be like.
A little bit more comfortable than doing it in the real world if they already tried it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I obviously, as you can see, I'll just talk and talk and talk, and so, but if there's a specific question that you want to ask.
No, I'm
otherwise, I'll keep talking about it.
I'm enjoying it. We have about 15 minutes left, so what was the question, Amy?
Like, what are some of the things besides the improvisation, you know, the improv technique, what are other things that you use to create, you know, what you call play? Or do you get into, like, art therapies and stuff like that? I mean, what other
mm-hmm.
things do you use?
Yeah, one of the reasons, so I'm a part of a network called the Applied Improvisation Network, and as much as I, you know, draw a lot of my practice from the improv world, the reason I chose my own name of that my process was Playformation is, as you're kind of hinting at, is I really didn't want to be limited to just one, you know, skill set, and so I'm mm-hmm. constantly adding different pieces, whether it's psychodrama or sociodrama or theater of the oppressed, or playback theater or art therapy or journaling or movement practices. I've been pretty disconnected on that note from my body for just until really a few years ago. And most of the, I noticed that a lot of the activities that I would do with people were on the verbal acting, maybe a little bit of writing. And even though I'm also really a singer and I love to sing, and so I started to bring some song, because when you sing, if I were to sing to you all right now about the work I do, it would access a completely different part of who I am and you are you. So there's some sort of thing that happens when we sing. For example, I do an activity where I ask you to think of two different memories, and you start to tell the story to the group from one of the memories, talking. Mm-hmm. And when I say click, you go to the other story, but you have to sing that story. And then when I say click again, you have to continue where you were in the other story, talking, click, go back singing. And it's a wonderful way to help bring some left-right brain synchronicity and to notice how you tell and what parts of your storytelling and your awareness change as you're singing. So singing, and that's where I was going.
I know what you mean by that.
Yeah, I mean, try it. Yeah. One of the most beautiful ways to really get grounded, you know, and for those of us that are shy with our voice, just doing this alone, is to take some time alone and to come up with a phrase or a word or something, or what's really great is like a metaphor, an image, maybe like a poetic line, and just start to sing it in your own little sweet, simple voice, not worrying and being critical and judging yourself and censoring yourself, and let it start to evolve. And let it grow. Maybe play with rhyming, and then maybe play with just whatever wants to come out next. The sense of connection that you have to yourself and to how authentic you're being will be 1,000 times more than just the kind of left brain analysis that we tend to do. Where I was going before about the embodied piece is that I've been disconnected with my body, so I've been doing some more contact improv dance, and authentic movement, things that are ways of moving and keeping oneself really aware of what's happening in the body and what truth is in the body beyond, which often knows a lot more than your brain knows.
Mm-hmm.
And by paying attention to that and its wisdom, we can have a lot more satisfaction with our lives when we're more aware of our body and our senses.
Mm.
And we can also get a lot more guidance to what we want to do with our lives when we're paying attention to our bodies.
Mm.
So I also bring some of those in. We've been doing, last year I did actually this was something I was more on the participant side, and I've been using it with some of my clients, something called solo drama, where the person is, it's a complicated piece, but there's lots of ways to do it. But in our case, it was a mix of paying attention to dreams and looking at themes in your life, mm-hmm. and coming up with a character map of the kind of characters that tend to come up in your life. You know, there's the whiny me. There's the teenager who doesn't think anyone likes him. There's the warrior side of me. There's the, you know, all these archetypes and different characters that tend to come out in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can give them a chance to have a voice, and even more so when they can start to actually interact with each other. I remember this one time where my sort of warrior side was just like, come on, let's make a difference in this world. Let's go. Screw them all. Let's go. It's time. Wanted mm-hmm. to basically say to this part of me that was like, oh, I've hurt people in the past, and, you know, I need to be more sensitive. And the conversation that the two of those had was incredibly revelatory and hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
So, I literally have a database of, I think, it's at about 225 activities. So I've got tons of activities that I do with people.
Very cool. So we're going to have to wrap up. I cannot believe we've already gone through about 48 minutes of the show already. I'm very grateful to have found you. I just, the work that you do is great, and I don't know what more to say.
That we're all going, is definitely needs to be more of you out there.
Oh, thanks so much. And I, yeah, I mean, there is a definite movement of many,
absolutely,
many people who are doing similar kinds of work, and it's so fun to link up together. And I love training people to do this work for others, and I'm looking forward to doing more of that as well. So would love to talk to any of your listeners.
Great.
Absolutely. Give us your contact information again.
Great. So I'm speaking on the note of being embodied. I prefer the phone just because so much more can happen back and forth in an asynchronous conversation. So feel free to call me, whether that's a quick call for a question or a free short coaching session, 206-428-7626. If you like email and want to just connect first in that way, it's LEIF, as in Frank, leif@sparkinteraction.com. And it's not Spark Interactive. I have people get confused on that. And, of course, the website itself, sparkinteraction.com. And if you're a Facebook head, you can find sparkinteraction.com there at facebook.com/sparkinteraction or facebook.com/leif.hansen. And if that's
groovy,
not enough ways to get in touch with me, then, boy, I don't know what would be.
Smoke signals.
Yes.
All right. So do you have anything upcoming, exciting? Are you speaking anywhere?
No.
Are you offering any seminars?
So for anyone who's in the Pacific Northwest, and I guess nationally or beyond, if you want to come out, I'm just now finalizing details for a workshop on Whidbey Island at a retreat center called the Whidbey Institute. And it's an amazing retreat center, and it's going to be the first weekend of March. But it's going to be a smaller group, so it's going to fill up pretty fast. And I, to be honest with you, I haven't even decided the focus yet. It's going to be a play formation workshop, but whether it's going to be focused on personal development or professional development in the terms of using these tools in one's everyday life, I haven't decided. So that would be one that's coming up soon. Of course, the coaching is available, and the coaching groups, which are Spark groups, are basically a retreat that you take either virtually or in person with yourself and three others that are your friends or your community or people that I hook you up with, and we get to know each other and the processes, and then it goes into a 1 week we connect coaching as a group, the next week we work together one-on-one, and then it culminates at the end of 3 months in a celebration retreat. So you can talk to me about that. And let's see. I guess one last. Do you have very many coaches that listen to your show?
We have over 80,000 people internationally, but the demographics mark it down that deeply.
Well, I'll just say, we don't know. But one of the most exciting things on a product side that I have going on is a lot of coaches get overwhelmed with, like, connecting all the information of the forms and the surveys and their client sessions and contact information. Well, I've created a coaching business system using a program called Bento that I've basically been working for myself for the last 5 years. I've put hundreds of hours into this, and I'm going to be launching it in the next month and a half. So that's
cool.
A pretty exciting offer. And there's always some free ebooks on my website. And, get in touch there. You can sign up for my newsletter on the site and find out what's happening next.
All right. So 1 minute. Here's your 1 minute test. What is the one most important message that you want everybody to get from you today?
And you shall be glad. And you shall dance, and you shall come to hear my song, and dance the night until it fades away.
We were all just serenaded by Leif Hansen of Spark Interaction. How cool. Great work, buddy. Hopefully we'll be able to have you on again to maybe this fall to see where you're at and how you've grown. It's just really wonderful stuff. Big shout out to you and all of your work. It's very cool. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And thanks for the magic that you're creating through the show. I really appreciate the honor of being on here. Look forward to talking to you guys soon.
All right, high five, buddy.
All right. Love to you.
All right.
Relax into the great grace and embrace. Bye-bye.
Bye. So that was Leif Hansen of Playformation, and great stuff, great show.
It is.
What an amazing life we live, huh?
It is. It's awesome, and I love hearing all of these bright, beautiful people coming forward and really stretching out and doing what they love to do, and all of us doing that at the same time is going to create that peaceful existence we're all looking for.
Absolutely. And as always, to my blessed beloveds out there, I love you. I think you're beautiful. I adore you. And I'm so glad you've spent your Wednesday with me today. And of course, it's the end of the show. So next week we do not have a show because, again, I had to rearrange some things. But check out the lineup. We have some amazing people coming on, and welcome 2013. It's just beautiful and vibrant and amazing, and so glad you're here. So until next time, you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and I'm Rusty.
And I'm Amy.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.